So tonight I want to talk about Purim, and since this is a Taimei HaMitzvos class, so I want to talk about the Mitzvos of Purim. And I think we did this Chanukah time also. We let Mitzvos Derabbanan into the class, you know, we'll discuss those as well. So of course there are four primary Mitzvos on Purim. Reading the Megillah, Matanos La'Avionim, Mishloach Manos, and the Seuda, the Purim meal. So I think most famously, each one, you know, its own, but Mishloach Manos, when people think about it, so they think about the way it's described in the Pasuk, which is Mishloach Manos, Ish L'Rei'eihu, each person's his friend. And it's an idea of, you know, building friendship, building peace among the people. I think that's what people most commonly will think about when they think of the mitzvah. And
mana, where is that from? What is that?
So actually there's a discussion in the word mana usually means like a portion. So
the Torah stuff about the mana. The
mana, the amount of weight of the
intensity of mana.
Okay.
Certain
amount of weight.
It could be in that context. In this context, I think in the portion, and there's actually a discussion if there's the implication that's specifically food or not. And that's actually related to this discussion, which is what is the reason for the mitzvah. So this idea that the mitzvah, the reason is to build friendship, to build peace, comes from the Manos HaLevi. The Manos HaLevi is Rav Shlomo Alkabez, who is also the author of L'cha Dodi. And he has a sefer on Megillat Esther called Manos HaLevi. He actually has a sefer on Megillat Rus, I think. I forget what that one's called. But so actually it's called Manos, I think. And he's with HaLevi. So Manos HaLevi from Mishloach Manos. And he's most, I haven't heard much from the sefer. I haven't seen, I think I found the page that's related to us once. But what he's most famous for is his opinion about Mishloach Manos, which is this idea that the way he describes the mitzvah is that Haman described us as Mifuzar Mifurad Ben Ha'amim, we're scattered, and he was also describing our internal situation and kind of saying, you know, there's no unity among them. Maybe he was saying they're easy to pick off because they don't have unity. Whatever his intent was. Mifuzar Miforad. So Mifuzar is scattered, and Miforad is like also like separated. Two expressions, you know, of a similar idea. And so he says, and you know, whether that idea is, I don't know. You know, I have to go back to the Sefer and see, you know, if he understands that to be a true description of what we were. I know people like to talk about how, you know, we were scattered, but then, you know, we got together, we unified, and that was part of bringing about the salvation. Putting that aside, whether that was a true statement, but we want to show either way that no, in fact, we're unified, not like Haman said, and therefore we give Mishloach Manos to increase the friendship. The opposite of what the Ish Tzar Ve'Oyev said, and we want to build peace among us and show our unity, and that's the purpose of Mishloach Manos. So that, again, I think is the more famous idea. There's a second idea, which is brought by the Trumas Hadeshen, one of the late Rishonim. The Trumas Hadeshen wrote his own, it's a book of responsum, but he wrote his own question. Yeah. And the question that he wrote related to this topic was, what we just touched on, can you give someone a non-food item for Mishloach Manos? He said shirts and blankets, can you give that for Mishloach Manos? So it's a very, very short tshuva, this big, and in his answer he says, It seems that you're not Yotze with giving just non-food items, because, he says, the reason for Mishloach Manos is to make sure that everyone has food for their Purim Seuda. That is the purpose of Mishloach Manos, and therefore it has to be a food item. It cannot be blankets or shirts. It has to be a food item. Yeah, so that comes from the Gemara. The Gemara said, the Pasuk says, Mishloach Manos Ish L'Reyeu. So plural Manos, portions, Ish L'Reyeu, one man to his friend. So the Gemara says, two portions to one person. And it says, Matanos La'Evyonim, gift to the poor, plural, Evyonim, plural. So you have to give to at least two poor people. So Mishloach Manos, the main mitzvah, to one person. And Matanos La'Evyonim is to at least two people.
What about, let's call it food accessories, for lack of a better term, like a package, a tea, box of tea bags,
I think that would count, you know, according to everyone, that's food. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Every year, the Hebrew Academy has
I'm sure they have a lot more than just tea in there.
Right. No, they have like 10 or 12 items.
Right.
Right.
Well, once you have two food items, you should, right, you can throw in whatever you want. You've done the mitzvah. Now, those are probably groups. That's a separate question in itself, whether you could be Yotze with that, because you're giving it with a whole list of other people. So many shuls do that, and it's very common, but it's probably not a good idea to rely on that as your Mishloach Manos, and you should make sure. Right, exactly. So you should make sure to have your own factory, at least one. You don't need a factory, you just need to give to one person to fulfill the Ikaradin, the primary mitzvah. Of course, according to this reason, that you're trying to be Mar Bereus, you're trying to increase friendship, so the more the merrier. But the Truma Sedeshin comes out, he learns it from the Gemara. Also, the Gemara talked about these two, Abaye Bar Oven and Rav Hanina Bar Oven, that it says they would trade Seudas. Rashi understands that to mean that they just switched off each year. Why, what the significance of that is, I'm not sure, but that's how Rashi learns the Gemara. Truma Sedeshin learns, no, they would trade, one would give some food for the Seuda, and he would give some back, and that's how they were Yotze Mishloach Manos. He sees in that Gemara that description, this idea that it's meant to provide food for the Seuda. Now, how do we passkin? Which reason that do we go with? And of course, there's major implications to this. For example, can you give a non-food item? According to the Truma Sedeshin, you can't, because you're supposed to be providing food for the Seuda. According to the Manos HaLevi, you should be able to, because as long as you're increasing friendship, it doesn't matter if it's food or something else, it should work. So, in fact, the legend is that the Manos HaLevi himself, Rav Shlomo HaKabez, gave his sefer to his father-in-law for Mishloach Manos. Maybe he was putting something else, I don't know, but, that was his Mishloach Manos. They say also the Ramah, the Moshe Isserles, did the same thing. And these are legends, I don't know if they're true. But the Ramah seems to paskin like the Manos HaLevi, that the reason is to increase friendship. Where do we see this? Because the Ramah has a halacha that if you give someone Mishloach Manos and he turns you down, either he doesn't want to accept it because he doesn't like you, or he doesn't want to accept it, he says, it's okay, it's fine, I'll be fine, I don't need it, thank you very much, I appreciate the ad, the vote, but it's okay. So, whether it's in one, but he turns it down, he's mocho, he forgives it. The Ramah paskins, your Yotze, the mitzvah of Mishloach Manos, even though he turned it down. So he quotes it from an earlier source, but the Leiber's commentaries, the Pre Chadash, questions, where did the Ramah get this halacha from? Where does this come from? So the Chassam Sofer says that it's really dependent on this question. If the purpose is in order to provide food for the Seuda, well, if he turns you down, then at the end of the day, you didn't provide anybody any food for the Seuda, and you wouldn't be Yotze. But if the purpose is just to build friendship, so, you know, you made the effort, he's aware you tried, he turns you down, whether for whatever reason, but he knows that you put forth the effort, so you've brought yourself a little bit closer to him. You've accomplished being Mar Bereus, increasing friendship, and you are, and it would make sense that you're Yotze. So he assumes that the Ramah, who says that you're Yotze with that, even though he turned you down, is assuming, like the Manus Halevi, that the reason is, the purpose of Mishloach Manus is to increase friendship. That was how the Chassam Sofer explained the Ramah. And his son, Reb Simon Sofer, in his Sefer Ksav Sofer, in his responsum, discusses the question, are you Yotze Mishloach Manos if you give anonymously? So he says it's also dependent on this question. If you provided food for someone's meal, doesn't matter if he knows who gave it, at the end of the day, you provided food, so you should be Yotze. If the point is to increase friendship, though, and he doesn't know who gave it to him, you didn't accomplish that, you wouldn't be Yotze. And he says that since the Ramah seems to assume that, like the Manos HaLevi, that the reason is to increase friendship, then it would follow that you would not be Yotze if you gave Mishloach Manos anonymously, because you haven't accomplished the idea of increasing friendship. At the end of the day, the postim, you know, recommend that we try to find something, you know, do something that works for both, and that's what we do. Might get into a question of types of food, you know. You know, you might
put it in a salad kind of thing, or
yeah, or just, I don't know, someone might say if you give something that could just, you know, you can't imagine using for the Suda, then maybe you would be Yotze. But I think at the end of the day, you know, it really somebody could use anything for the Suda, whether it's candy for dessert or whether it's dairy or meat or whatever it is, they could use it for the Suda, you know. So as long as it's a food item and it's not anonymous and then, you know, it should be, you should be able to fulfill both reasons.
Do we normally find this, that we have to know the reason for a mitzvah before we can decide to observe?
Very good question. So in general, we do not let the reasons of mitzvah, you know, impact how we perform the mitzvah. I guess, you know, over here, I'm not sure, meaning these are good questions, but meaning, like,
this is human mitzvah, well, it didn't come from Hashem, it came from Esther.
Right, that too, right, it was from Mordechai and Esther, and also, we don't have a tradition of halacha, of how to, you know, how to do this mitzvah. You know, we don't have a Torah Shabbat Peh as much as we would for the mitzvahs of the Torah, where the halachos are, you know, defined in Torah Shabbat Peh, how you perform them and when. And so, in general, you don't really need to get into the reasons of the mitzvah to define how and when to do the mitzvah. We have such a tradition, usually, for most mitzvahs. Here, there's no real tradition for it, so we have to, well, which one is it? Can you give a food item or can you not? And that will depend on the reason. Now, as I mentioned before, they do discuss, I saw a discussion about the word manos, whether there's an implication with that, whether it's a food item or not. And I forget who I saw discussing it, but he basically came out that he had examples where manos meant food items and places where it also meant other things, and it wasn't, you know, you couldn't, from that word alone, you wouldn't be able to discern what the purpose or whether it's restricted to food items or not. So coming back to the Trumas HaDeshen for a second. So again, he said, you know, the reason is to make sure everyone has food for the Suda. Now, we don't find, you know, we have other Yom and Tovim where we have a mitzvah to have a Suda. You know, every Shabbos, every Yontif, there are, you know, there's a mitzvah to have a Suda. But we don't find that there's a, you know, for sure we give tzedakah around Yom Tov time. We want to make sure everyone is, you know, is provided for most chitzing around Pesach time. But we don't find a built-in mitzvah like that, where we want to make, you know, there's a built-in to the holiday is the mitzvah to make sure everyone has a seudah. And if that is indeed the purpose of this mitzvah, then it really says something about the seudah, that the seudah seems to be extremely important.
Okay, where does that actually come from? Because it wasn't in the Megillah itself. Right?
The seudah?
Yeah.
I think it is. It's Yimei Mishtav Simcha, that
okay.
established as the days of Mishtav is a party. Is,
it could be the same thing as at the beginning of the Megillah, and Achashverosh had the sense of Mishtav.
Well, it is. I mean,
but it's not, like, you know, 180 days.
Right. So,
what sort of looking for gluttony?
Yeah.
<It's not.
laughs>
So, yeah. No. So, right. Okay. So, how we know exactly what they meant? I guess you know, maybe there is a little bit of a Torah about that, but there is a pasuk sourcing it.
We're commanded to be happy. Is that really what it amounts to?
So, I mean, we're commanded to have a seudah. And, you know, maybe that's in order to be happy.
Or if happiness talking about what he results from having a seudah.
Yeah.
So then we have the Gemara. And just
right, so that's part of the question, is why is the seudah so important to Purim? So, the Mishnah Berurah actually, in Hilchos Chanukah, when he's talking about the halacha on Hanukkah, which there the Shulchan Aruch says that people like to have a lot of seudos on Hanukkah, that's reshus, that's optional. You don't, there's no obligation to have a seudah on Hanukkah. They weren't koveyat l'mishtev simcha. The Shulchan Aruch says they didn't establish Hanukkah as a yom tov of celebration in that way. The Rama there happens to say there are those who say that it is good to have a seudah on Hanukkah. But Mishnah Berurah quotes from the Levush what the explanation is. Why is it that on Hanukkah we don't really have a seudah? But Purim was established as Yimei Mishtav Simcha, a day of celebration. So the Mishnah Berurah says, again quoting the Levush, that on Purim the Gezeirah, the decree was the Hashmid Larog Et Kol HaYehudim, to destroy, physically destroy all the Jews, annihilate us. Which is against the guf. That was against the body. That was a physical attack on us. So, as opposed to Hanukkah, which was an attempt to assimilate us, a spiritual. They weren't trying to kill us. They were just trying to assimilate us into their culture. And therefore, the celebration of Purim, which celebrates a physical salvation, is a physical celebration done through enjoying a seudah. The Hanukkah celebration is more of a spiritual celebration. They tried to write Vashkicham Torah Secha, they wanted us to forget the Torah. We're putting emphasis on learning Torah on Hanukkah. We have the lights, which represent all kinds of different ideas, but it's a spiritual flame. It's a flame, you know. It's more of a celebration of the spiritual salvation. So that is one reason why the Seudah on Purim is of great importance. There is a beautiful piece in the Ksav Sofer, who also touches on why there's such an emphasis on the Seudah. You know, he also wonders, like, why, you know, why is there a mitzvah to drink on this holiday? Why is it there's such a physical celebration? What is so unique about Purim that that we celebrate it in this manner? So he says that in order to understand this, we have to first understand something else, which is that on Shavuot, the Gemara says that there's The Gemara brings a dispute, Gemara Mitzvachim, how to approach Yom Tov in general. What do we do on Yom Tov? Is it kulo v'Hashem? Is it a day, you know, devoted completely to Hashem? Or is it, should it be kulo lachem? Should it be, you know, more of a physical celebration, all for us? Should we be focused on Torah and Tzila v'Hashem, or should we be focused on a physical, enjoyable celebration? There are different opinions in the Gemara. The Gemara has a famous statement that when it comes to Shavuot, Hakol modim devo'ing on nami lachem. Everybody agrees, even the opinion that says that by other Yamim Tovim, it's kulo la-Hashem, all for Hashem, all davening and learning, but on Shavuos, everyone agrees that there's some physical part of it. And it's, you know, yeah, on Shavuos of all holidays, the celebration of accepting the Torah has, everybody agrees, there has to be a physical aspect.
That's kind of ironic. I think it'd be special. Yeah.
Exactly. It's a Suda. It would be done through the Suda. That would be the Shavuos meal. Yeah. So
the Pesach, the Seder, I mean, it's also a fancy meal. What Amalek did
now, notably the Rambam here. Yeah. So we end up, I think, doing on all holidays lachem, you know, also. But the Gemara says that even the opinion that says that by other holidays it should be all lachem agrees that Shavuos, there has to be some aspect of lachem. And the question is, why is that?
Yeah.
So Ksav Sofer builds a beautiful idea. Says, at the end of Parshas Mishpatim, Pasuk describes the people standing by Har Sinai at Matan Torah, and it says, "Ve'atzilei b'nei Yisrael lo shalach yado," and to the atzilei b'nei Yisrael, the strong ones, the righteous ones of the Jewish people, and the word atzilei actually we'll see can be taking different directions. Lo shalach yado, Hashem didn't send His hand out against them. And they saw God, vayochu vayishtu, and they ate and they drank. So was this a good thing or not? So it depends who you ask. So Rashi, you know, the pasuk says Hashem didn't send His hand against them. It sounds like Hashem would have or should have, that they were deserving of some kind of punishment, but Hashem, you know, forgave them or held back. That's what Rashi says, that, you know, they shouldn't have been celebrating now. What were they doing? But the Ramban argues and says, no, this was a Tudas Mitzvah. They were celebrating like a Siyum, like, you know, they just got the Torah. They were celebrating, and it was a good thing. So if it was a good thing, according to the Ramban, what does it mean that Hashem didn't stretch out His hand against them? Well, Shalach Yado, He didn't send His hand. What's that supposed to mean? So the Ksav Sofer says that when a person, right, we know, the Gemara tells us, Vayisyatzu v'sachti sahar, that they stood by the foot of the mountain, and the Gemara says, "Tachtis har" means under the mountain. Like Hashem held the mountain over their heads and said, "You know, if you accept the Torah, good, and if not, you'll be buried under the mountain." And they seem to have to; they were forced to accept the Torah. So the Ksav Sofer says that those were the people. There was a group of people who was forced to accept the Torah because they didn't want to accept it, and there was a different group of people that Atzilei b'nei Yisrael lo shalach yado. He didn't have to send His hand against them. Lo shalach yado. He didn't send His hand means He didn't have to hold the mountain over their head because they were so happy to get the Torah, and that's why they ate and drank. Because they were, you know, food was good for them. They didn't just get forced into something that they didn't really, you know, the people who got forced into it, they wouldn't want to celebrate. They wouldn't want to eat and drink. They weren't, you know, necessarily so happy about it. But this group of people, Loshach Yado, He didn't have to send His hand against them because they were happy to receive the Torah. So he says, that's why on Shavuos we need to have an aspect of lachem. When we receive the Torah, we have to eat and drink. We have to show food tastes good to us. We're excited about this. We're in good spirits. that we're receiving the Torah, we need to have a lachem. You have to have a seuda. You have to enjoy yourself. You have a good, tasty meal in order to show that you are happy that we've received the Torah. We know. Yeah.
This is probably not on point right now, but maybe you can come to this later on. I noticed when we read Mishpatim last week that, this week I went back and checked, only Nadav and Avihu went up with Moshe Ashur and the Eliyahu. Elazar Shemar did not. And then Nadav and Avihu were the ones who ended up getting too close to God. And then I wonder if there was a connection, a draw connection between the fact that they were included among the elders and maybe beyond their abilities to withstand it.
Sure, yeah. I mean, they were very extremely righteous, so...
Maybe it was too much for them.
Right. Interesting. So, now, the Gemara says, that same Gemara that says that Hashem held the mountain over their head, it says, Mikar moda rabo le'araisa. From here, there's like a great excuse, basically, that for not keeping the Torah, because we were forced to accept it, right? So, you know, we don't have to, you know, we didn't agree to this. So the Gemara says, well, hadar kibua b'mei Achashverosh, that we re-accepted it in the time of Achashverosh, because it says, kimu v'kiblu, they upheld and they accepted. Kimu, they upheld mashe kibu kvar, that which they had previously accepted, they upheld it, they reaffirmed it, and now, and it says, I think Rashi says, me avasameh, you know, the love for the miracle that was done for them, they felt the sense of love, and they re-accepted the Torah. So Purim is actually also a celebration of receiving the Torah. So he says that's why on Purim it's so important to eat a good festive meal. Exactly. Sure, of course. It's, Purim, I think, is kulo lachem. that's why it's of such importance to eat a good festive meal, we enjoy, we drink everything, we go all out in the lachem, because we're showing that, no, we're happy to receive the Torah, it's a celebration, food is good tasting. And he goes on to say that also by sending the shachmanos and you know, inviting other people to enjoying your meal as well, is an expression of that. You know, if you eat by yourself, so it's not necessarily the same level of celebration, but by sending the shachmanos, of including other people in your Purim Suda, that is an expression of, you know, this is a real celebration, everybody's invited, everyone's included, and that shows this, that we're overjoyed, that we're really, we were very happy to re-accept the Torah. And that's why we have this, you know, essential mitzvah, according to Ksav Sofer, of Seuda, to show this point that we're so happy to re-accept the Torah. And Mishloach Manos is an expression of including other people in the Seuda. It really brings out that idea that this is a time of celebration and that we're celebrating re-accepting the Torah. The poskim, some of them wonder about this idea of drinking on Purim. The Mishnah Berurah and the Bir Halacha. So he says, quotes that, you know, he's going, it's Halacha and Shulchan Aruch, Chayev Enish L'Vesumei B'Purya. A person, a man, is obligated to Besumei, from the word besumim, like to become inebriated on Purim.
Is there a difference between besumim and inebriation?
I think so.
Right.
Yeah. Ad lo yada being Arur Haman and Baruch Mordechai. Until he doesn't know the difference between Arur Haman and Baruch Mordechai.
Maybe he'll tell us what it means. It doesn't mean what it sounds like it means. I don't know.
Well,
cut back on all the.
So, in certain places, it could get out of hand, and I think, you know, it's a good thing to try, you know, if somebody's not mature enough to hold, you know, to control themselves, then they and there is a problem in yeshivas and high schools, and they do try, you know, I guess each place their own has their own rules and how they deal with it. But you know, certainly, simply understood, that's the mitzvah. The mitzvah is to drink on Purim, to drink a lot even perhaps. The Rama, however, has another solution, which I'll just mention, which is the Rama says that Yesh Omrim, there are those who say the Ein Sarach Hishtaker. I always mix up the words with Hishtaker and Hishtaker. One means to get drunk, and one means to earn money. So the Hishtaker Kolkach is spelled the same way, the same letters. As a Yishta Yosem Yilimuda, you don't have to get so drunk, just drink more than you're used to. The Yashin, and go to sleep. Umitok the Yashin, and once you're sleeping, Eno Yodeya, sing Ar Hamanabar.
Shachar is your reward or your money.
Right, so that's
and
the other one.
Tikkur is
exactly
the same word.
So that's right. When you conjugate it, both of those words, like shachar, shachar is like beer, shichrus is drunkenness. So the verb is lehishtaker, to get drunk. Char, the same letters. The verb is lehishtaker, spelled the same way. So the Bir Alafa, from the Eliyarabba, I think, says, how could it be? How could Chazal? How could the sages obligate to become drunk when we have so many places where Chazal and the Nevi'im talk about drunkenness as a terrible thing? Says the Bir Alafa, Yesh Lomar Mipnei Shekol Hanisim Zanasu Yisrael Yimei Achashverosh Hayu Al Yedei Mishta. Because all of the miracles in the story of Purim came about through feasts of this sort. First, Vashti met her end through the feast, which was the setup for Esther to become the queen. Haman was taken down at Esther's feast. So therefore, they obligate us to drink wine in order to remember this. To remember this idea.
Never heard that.
So yeah, that's the in the Bir Alacha, which is the Mishnah Berurah, and he might be quoting the Eliyarabba. I'm not sure. He says one more point, and then he says Eliyarabba. So,
what is that?
The Eliyarabba is a earlier halachic work, a commentary on the Levush, which is another halachic work.
Is there another instance where they had Yitzchak said to Moshe, now I believe in Hashem, because in the very manner that the Mitzrim wanted to defeat Israel, that's how they got there.
Oh, like a Mida Kenegeg Mida.
So right after Haman convinced Ahasuerus to have a lottery to save the Jews,
it's interesting. There's a different Chazal that was a Mida Kenegeg Mida for the selling of Yosher, because the brothers sat down to eat and drink after they sold Yosher. The Medrash says that this was a punishment for that. Okay, so that's another reason for the Seuda. I want to offer another possible approach to this idea of Chai of Innes with the Sume. What's this idea? We have to drink, you know, to the point. This isn't one of the main mitzvahs of Purim, but it is the Gemara uses that word chayav, which means an obligation, it's some kind of obligation. In addition, or along with it, yeah, it's almost a fifth one. It seems to be part of the Suda. And to the point where you don't know things, Arur Haman LeBaruch Mordechai. Cursed be Haman and blessed be Mordechai. So I think it can tie into a general understanding of Purim, you know, the general theme of Purim and the concept of reading the Megillah. So the word Megillah, first of all, is like Megaleh, to reveal. There's some kind of revelation going on here. Now, this won't be consistent with other Megillahs necessarily, but I overheard someone saying earlier this week that, I don't know, there's a Gemara somewhere that mentions the different Megillahs, and it only refers to Esther as Megillah Esther. The other one, just as Eifa, Kohelet, doesn't say the word Megillah. So it could be that really Megillah is reserved for Megillah Esther. So there's a very important piece in the Vilna Gaon's commentary on the Megillah, which is one of his very first paragraphs, which is worth just going through, sort of sets up the theme of Purim. So, and the Megillah. So, the Vilna Gaon says that he's going on the very first pasuk, right? Vayhi bimei Achashverosh, hu Achashverosh, hamoyeh yod hamtush. Actually, it's the second pasuk. Vayamim ahim, kishevesh hamelch Achashverosh. In those days when the king Achashverosh was sitting, al kisei malchuso, on his throne, Asher b'Shushan Habira, which was in Shushan. So, the Vilna Gaon points out that the fact that the throne was in Shushan was already the throne was already the beginning of sort of the miracle behind, you know, Hashem pulling the strings behind the scenes. I don't know if he mentions it here or it's a Chazal. I believe that Achashverosh, the capital of the empire, was originally in Babel, Babylon, I believe. Now Achashverosh, when he became king, he wanted a throne just like Shlomo HaMelech had, an identical throne to Shlomo HaMelech, and he had it commissioned. And the artist who made it was in Shushan. And after it was made, they realized, wait a second, we can't move this.
It's so big and heavy.
So what can we do? We'll just have to move ourselves to Shushan. And that's how we ended up in Shushan. And why was it so important that he was there? Well, because that's where Mordechai was. And if, you know, if Mordechai hadn't been in the same place, then everything would have worked out differently. And it was already, you know, at the very, the Shushan of Ur, the fact that everything is going down in Shushan was already, you know, an act of Hashem, a process of Hashem pulling the strings behind the scenes.
Is it Midrash or?
I think so. I thought he says it, but now I'm looking and he doesn't say it right here. So it could be it's on the previous page, which I don't have with me, or it could be it's a Midrash. I'm not sure. Now the Gemara says that you have to read the entire Megillah. You can't do parts. Yeah, every part is important. And exactly. And why is everything so important? So, because every detail is important to the story. And, you know, then you go through different parshim, then you could probably string together on like every pasuk. What was the, you know, some of them are very creative, but what was that? Why do it have to happen this way exactly? Like every little detail.
What I haven't said is for 6 months and 6 months, the women, each one had to take 6 months in this perfume. I mean, that's a huge waste of time. And why would the king be sitting around waiting for a year for the first of his wife? I mean, not, and what does that have to do with it, making the story? I mean, that never made any sense. I don't know where that comes in. It's kind of a lot.
Was it important for it to get Esther in there somehow?
She just grabbed it up the first time, and it was the second, I don't know.
So we'll have to look into that. What was the, I'm sure someone has something to say about that. So, and the Gra says this, that, you know, the Gaon says this, that the whole pasuk who misaper godolani. Every single verse is telling you the greatness of the miracle.
Well, maybe underscores the miracle of everything being selected.
But she refused the laugh at the end. Right, when she was returned, she just refused to take anything but her
right.
That doesn't mean she refused 6 months.
I don't know, that's amazing. That's why it's
interesting.
Okay. Now, of course, the nace, this miracle was the Hester Panim, was hitting a miracle, and that's the Gemara. The Gemara says, Esther min Atara minayin. Where do we know, where is there a source for Esther in the Torah? And it quotes the pasuk, it says, Vanochi Hester Asiris Tonai Mehem Bayomahu. I, Hashem says, I will hide my face from them on that day. And the Vilna Gaon wonders. He says, what is this Gemara asking? What do we mean, Esther Ninga Torah Minayim? Where do we find Esther in the Torah? You know, we don't ask that about everyone. You might happen to ask about a few people there, but it doesn't ask you about, you know, every Navi or, you know, every person, Tzaddik or Tzaddikus that we meet. Like, where are they hinted to in the Torah? Why is it asking this about Esther? And he says, the reason is because what was unique about this miracle was that it was in Chutzlar. This was a miracle that happened outside of the land of Israel, without a Beis HaMikdash. Because Hanukkah, okay, it was a great miracle, but it was in the time of the Beis HaMikdash. It was in Eretz Yisrael. That's not such a standout. But when the reason why they're wondering Esther in Atara Minayin, they're asking that question. Where you know what's the source for Esther? Is where is there a hint to this idea that even in Hester Panim, even in when Hashem is hitting, even in Galus, even in exile, Hashem still will make great miracles like this? And they quote this pasuk that I will hide myself. The way he interprets it is Afilu b'shas Hester Panim Ashalach Esther Anochi Hester. Interesting interpretation. I will hide, but Asir, like I think that's how he's interpreting. But I'll send Esther. I'll send the miracle, and I'll send the salvation, even when I'm hidden. And this is you know, of course, just such an important idea for us who are still in Galus to take with us. And to look in the Megillah, and that the Pirsume Nisa of the Megillah is reading through the whole Megillah and taking note and paying attention to how every step of the way there's a Hashgacha Pratis and nothing is quite how it seems. And what seems good turns out to, you know, what seems bad turns out to be good, and everything gets turned on its head. And that is, you know, such an important lesson to take. That's the Pirsume Nisa, the publication of the miracle is reading the Megillah. Of course, that, you know, back to time of Mitzvot, we know the reason for reading the Megillah is Pirsume Nisa, it's spreading the miracle, it's publicizing the miracle by reading it in public, by showing that this is such a, you know, there's much to be gleaned from this story, lessons to be taken. That's the mitzvah of reading the Megillah. And I think that idea of, you know, a number of commentaries say this idea, but that's also the idea of getting drunk to the point, Adlo Yada being Baruch, Arur Haman of Baruch Mordechai, is that, you know, things aren't the way they seem necessarily. And you know, a Haman could turn out to be a good thing. You know, it looks so terrible, and it is. But you're right, he brought the Jews together, he brought a new Kabbalah Satorah about, you know, the Gemara says that B'nai Banav Shal Haman, the descendants of Haman learned Torah. I think it says in B'nai Brak, it says for a different Rishayim.
And all the sons got killed. grandson?
Spiritual descendants?
No, I think real descendants.
Maybe he had grandchildren who became Jews. I don't know.
I'm not sure. I'm pretty sure I'm not making up this chazal. There are definitely said about others, about Tancherev and about Sistra, and I'm pretty sure Haman's on the list too. There was a merit here that he brought about. You know, at the end of the day, in Russia, a terrible person, but he did bring about a positive change in us. And and you know, as much as they're gonna burn for it, and as much as you know, but there may be some merit that they can have that Haman can have a grandchild who learns Torah, you know, who becomes a ger and learns Torah. So
you think that they're evil and their intent is so all pervasive that it led us to such repentance?
There's a tad of merit in that. You know, it doesn't compare. It's not a good strategy. It's not a good strategy for someone who's looking for merit.
Right.
But at the end of the day, it's there. You know, maybe a little tiny smidgen. So that could be. That's how some commentaries want to interpret this. That's sort of beside the point. The point for us is that we look at our Haman. We look, you know. But sometimes in our Haman could lead to great things, just as a Baruch Mordechai could. A Haman and a Mordechai, we don't, Adelo Yada, we don't know the difference. We know that everything Hashem does is for the good. Hashem has a plan. And when things look absolutely terrible, but we have to, lighten up a little bit, and we loosen up a little bit, and we get a little high, then things start to, become less, we're less so, you know, clear about everything.
Black and white.
We can, right, we, less black and white, and we can reach this madriga, this level, where we say, oh, it's all, you know, all for the best, it's all for the good, which ultimately is
right.
What, right, everything's, you know, Hashem has the world on a course, and ultimately we don't understand how and why, but everything is l'tov. At the end of time, we'll be able to look back and see how everything was l'tov.
The name Haman, we first encounter Haman in the Midbar, right? They show the Haman.
Yeah. We actually encounter it even earlier, but the letters, though. The Gemara has that same Gemara says Haman in the Torah Minayin. From where do we know Haman in the Torah? And it quotes the Pasuk in Bereishis, actually. Hamin ha eitz hazeh. How does the end of that pasuk go? Hamin ha eitz hazeh. I don't remember the end of the pasuk, but it's something to do with the tree of knowledge.
Right.
And so there's a lot of discussion about what that connection is. Just to close, I just have to say something about Matanos Avionu. You know, the last mitzvah of giving before, which I think, you know, simply understood, we want to make sure everyone has, especially if you assume that Mishloach Manos is not about making sure everyone has food, then Matanos Avionu can certainly be to make sure everyone has something to enjoy on Purim, on a day of joy. We have to make sure everyone is looked after. There's also this idea that people talk about on Purim where, you know, Hashem, we reached out to Hashem and he answered our prayers. He gave to us. And in emulation of that, anybody who opens their hand for money, we give to them just as Hashem, you know, responded to us on Purim time. Have a prayer.